Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard a line that's similar to one in our gospel text today about how Moses had lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. As the story goes, you remember the Israelites wandering in the wilderness encountered snakes in that place, snakes that bit them, some of them died, and they cried out to God, "Save us." God said to Moses, "Make a serpent out of bronze, put it on a pole, and when the people are bitten, they can look at it and they will be healed." Everyone who is bitten, the text says, shall look at it and live. In our world, there certainly are things that bite us. Most of them are not this cute. Most of them are things that bite us like illness and grief, worry and anxiety, depression and hopelessness, but also larger systemic issues of violence and inequality, racism and income disparity, climate injustice in our world, those things that we know bite us and continue to gnaw at us even as we try to live together peaceably. But the point of the text of the serpent on the pole is that God desires life. That God desires to enter into our world, into our being, and be that source of life for us, with us, and in us. Not just the source of life at the beginning, but also daily and year after year as we seek to connect ourselves to the grace and the love of God that comes as the world turns and as our lives move and ebb and flow. God wants to be that source of life for us. And it's a life that we can offer also to others as we reach out and touch the lives of those around us, as we share the bounty of our goodness, as we play and enjoy the gifts that God has given us with one another. In the New Testament, there's actually three words that are translated life in English. We only have one word, but in Greek there's three words. And so in honor of the Greeks that came to see Jesus today, I thought we'd do a little bit of a Greek lesson. Three words that are translated life. The first is bios. It's where we get the word biology. It's the stuff of life. It's the thing in our bodies and in our cells and in our membranes, not only in humans, but in all life throughout the world. It is that part of life that grows in us and eventually decays and dies. But it's also the substance of life. It's that which keeps us alive. In the scriptures, bread and water are the bios of life, but also the gift of family and the longevity and the transfer of wealth and goodness from family members through the generation. That's also bios, according to the New Testament. And finally, bios is life that in excess can lead to demise. It's what Jesus speaks about when he tells the parable of the sower and about the seeds that fall among the thorns that are choked and they die because of the riches of life, the overabundance of those good things in our world that can be our demise. The second kind of life in the New Testament is psyche. It's where we get the word psychology. It's the word of the mind. It's the voice in our head. It's the life of our soul, you might say. That which allows us to understand ourselves as ourselves. It's the story that we saw in the movie Inside Out, of the various voices of emotion in our heads, sometimes competing, sometimes working against each other, but eventually learning to work together in harmony for the betterment of our lives as we grow and mature. And it's that will of our lives, sometimes working against us, but most often causing us to move forward, driving us to be the person that God has called us to be. Psyche is the present, temporal life. It's the life that Jesus talks about when he says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Is not life more than food? And finally, there is life that comes from the word Zoe. Zoe, like agape, the word for love that comes from God, Zoe is the abundant, the eternal, the unending love and life of God. Zoe is the life that Jesus talks about when he meets with Nicodemus and says that those who believe will have abundant life. It's the life that Jesus speaks to the woman at the well about when he says that those who drink of the water that he gives, that life will spring up like water gushing and overflowing to eternal life. And it's the abundant life that Jesus speaks of today when he says that those who love their life will lose it, but those who hate their life will, in this world, will keep it for eternal life. The word there at the end of that sentence, life, is Zoe. It's the abundant life. It's the life that God wishes us to have, not just for this world, but for eternity. But what's interesting in this line is that the other two uses of the word life are not Zoe, but psyche. There's two kinds of life that Jesus is talking about here. There's two aspects of our lives that Jesus is comparing and telling us that we need to understand that there is life and then there is life. There is temporal life. And there is abundant life. Or another way of saying it is that there is the kingdom of this world. And the lives that we live in this world and the way that we interact with ourselves and with each other. And then there is the kingdom of God. The kingdom that is everlasting. The kingdom that will not perish. And in the middle of these two lives, where these two lives intersect, there is where we encounter Christ. There is where we experience the life that God gives to us when we pray for one another, when we reach out to one another, when we hold each other close, and when we remind one another that there is life that extends beyond this world, and some of that life we can experience here because of the kingdom of God. And it's the life that Jesus came to live and die for. This is the life that Jesus says we must die to in order that we might live. And as Jesus calls us to die to this world, Jesus is calling us to die to the powers of this world that hold us fast, to die to this idea that we have to be the best, to die to this idea that we have to honor success, and that those who make it to the top are the ones who win, and even that we have to die to those things that we believe are right. And when we give up those things, and when we follow Jesus' call to give our lives away for the sake of the world, then we are able to work for the best in others. Then we are able to reach out our hands so that success comes not just for us, but also for the fallen in our world. Then we have the opportunity to embrace the truth of those who are right, only right in a different way than we think we are right. This is the abundant, eternal life that God calls us to. It's a life that envelops our lives and includes all people of all types around our world, around our community, throughout our families, and in all aspects of our lives. Because life that is just for us, that doesn't include others, all others, well, that just bites. But God seeks life for us today. For us, as we sit here today, hearing these words, seeing each other's faces, hearing each other's voices, and reaching out into a community in love. Only let us remember that Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat, a spark of life, falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Let us be the life of Jesus that bears fruit. Thanks be to God. Amen.